Today we have a format where we have a split sermon. Our first speaker, Mr. Corey Plaginza.
Good morning to all of you and those on the computer and telephone hookup and those on Zoom as well. I hope that's coming in loud and clear, and a lot of work goes into that. Really appreciate that. So anyways, this morning what I want to talk about is something that most people are creeped out by, and that is feet. You know, you talk about feet, nobody wants to see a grown man's feet, right? You're supposed to keep those covered up. You're not supposed to have flip-flops. Chelsea and Crystal, I know firsthand that they do not like feet. Have socks on when the Altum girls come over, both Chelsea and Crystal. They don't like feet. But we talk about feet quite a bit in the church, and you may think, well, that's a weird topic to spend any time talking about. But today, what I want to talk about is feet and how beautiful they can be. Let's take a look. Isaiah talks about feet, and when he talks about feet, it's exactly what he says. How beautiful are these feet. You know, around our house, we generally don't wear shoes. We are a barefoot family. So if you come over, we're barefoot. And I lament the fact that my feet are so soft. They used to be where I could go outside and run across gravel, step in goat heads, stickers, and no problem at all. I have a good time with no shoes on. I say that it's partly to do with my feet being in shoes all day, but may have something to do with all the weight that I've gained since I used to do that when I was considerably lighter. But you talk about just about anybody, and feet can be a pretty gross topic. But Isaiah here in Isaiah 52 talks about feet in a much different way. Isaiah 52 in verse 7, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news." Who brings good news. Someone who brings good news. And they bring it by foot. That was the way that, through most of human history, that was the way that news traveled. It traveled by foot. The messenger had to come. It came slowly. There was no smartphone. There was no evening news that would come on that would deliver your news to you. No, it was by foot. A messenger would come and bring that good news. And sometimes not always good news, but, you know, how great were the feet of somebody who brings that news? They didn't get it instantaneously. But they brought it the swiftest way they had at the time, and that was by messenger or courier, by foot. That's the way that news traveled. And during Isaiah's time, that was both good news and it was bad news. It came by foot. It came carried on the feet of men, right? And if you had good news, you get to celebrate that good news with whoever you're bringing it to, right? And then if you had the misfortune of bringing bad news, well, oftentimes bringing bad news meant you'd lose your head, you know. You didn't want to be the bearer of bad news. And where we get the saying, you know, don't shoot the messenger, right? Who wants to deliver bad news? Nobody. Nobody wants to deliver bad news. Proverbs 25. Take a look here. Proverbs 25 and verse 25. It says, "As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country," right? That good news being delivered, coming across and having that good news brought to you, it's wonderful. It's refreshing to the soul. It's like water to the thirsty soul or someone who is weary, right? Good news. Somebody brings good news to you. I mean, it could cheer you up and change your whole attitude. You go back to Isaiah. I should have had you hold your finger there. Isaiah 52 and verse 7. So we'll just start at the top. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." What better news could there possibly be? The good news of God's rule on this earth. We have that. We have God's good news. We know what that good news is. Paul even quotes Isaiah. If we turn to Romans 10. You know, this is the best news that you could possibly hear. right? In a world that is tormented with wrong way of living and a being that seeks to destroy anything that they find enjoyable or keeping them from finding enjoyable. And Satan will do everything in his power to keep us from that happiness. And he has successfully kept mankind in the dark, you know. But this news is great news. And the feet that bring it are wonderful feet. Isaiah 52 is quoted in Romans 10. Paul actually quotes it in Romans 10. Romans 10 and verse 15, Paul says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." The church collectively, that's our job, is to preach these glad tidings, to preach the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Is there anything that's more wonderful or anything that this world needs more than that good news, than our feet to bring that good news to them? The church collectively has the responsibility to preach that good news. And we deliver that message in the most powerful way that we can, as a small group that we are, through Mr. LeBlanc and the radio program. I have opportunity where I live where I can hear that on a daily basis. And if I have the radio there available to me, then I can listen to that radio broadcast. And let me tell you something, it is different than anything else that comes on the radio. It is absolutely complete opposite contrast to what you hear on that radio at any other time throughout the day. Proverbs 4, let's talk a little bit about our individual responsibility in preaching this gospel, right? Because collectively as a church, obviously we have that, and we can lay that responsibility on Mr. LeBlanc and quickly forget that we also play a very important role. So what is our role? We find Proverbs 4 and verse 26. Proverbs 4 and verse 26, it says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." Our role is to do this, to make sure that we're on the right track, make sure that we are on that path that helps bring that good news. You know, messengers of old ran into all types of hazards, and I want to take a look at these hazards as we go through the rest of this message. But messengers of old, they ran into robbers on the trail or on that path to where they were going to deliver that message. They ran into wild animals. They ran into distractions. And they were fatigued. They had fatigue. And there was also the elements. And these are the things I want to talk about today. The robbers, the wild animals, distractions, fatigue, and the element. You know, these are all things that as we carry that message and we ponder our path, as it says here in Proverbs 4, that we can run into and that we have problems with and that can stop us from delivering the message that we have, from having our feet, you know, be that wonderful, beautiful sight for mankind. First, let's talk about robbers. There are men that lie in wait to steal what is most valuable to us, and that is our salvation. How do they do that? They do that through persecution mainly, right? You run into all kinds of obstacles where you're persecuted, right? At work, at gatherings, where your kids go to school, you know, where you interact with people, there's persecutions. People who don't believe in this good news and don't want you to spread that good news. Then there's falsehoods and rumors and gossip, clever arguments and deceitful teachings that all lead into trying to rob you of this message, of this good news that we can deliver. A number of years ago, and I don't recommend this practice, but I looked up Mr. Armstrong and kind of start going down a rabbit hole about all of the things that they say about him. Here's a man who's been dead over 3 decades. They still will attack him with fervor and without any hesitation or any pause. I mean, they go after him in every way. And you can read that on the internet. You can find all kinds of stuff. But he's been dead for over 3 decades, and they continue to do it. And you can find new stuff. Here's an individual who delivered the good news, who brought and delivered it to many of us, and through him has been delivered to us today. But they have no problem with clever arguments and deceit and falsehoods and rumors to attack him. And Mr. Armstrong was not perfect. He was a human being. He had faults and flaws. But his good news is absolutely attacked and attacked without regard. And if they can attack him, then they will do that to bring him down and to stop this good news and give people pause to say, well, maybe that's not the good news that we should be after. And they can do the same thing to us, ridicule and malign what we believe as well. Revelation 3. Turn over to Revelation 3. It's hard to hold on to things when you're ridiculed for it, when you're persecuted for it, when people spread falsehoods and rumors and they have arguments against what you believe, and they teach opposite of it and have those deceitful teachings. But in Revelation 3, verse 11, it says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man may take your crown." Because as we run on this path and we are messengers and we are pondering our paths and we run this race, it can be taken away from us. It can be taken away. In Revelation 3 here, it tells us, don't let it go. Galatians 5, turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 7, Paul speaking to the church, because they were in the same situation that we can be in at times, where deceitful teachings come along and a seductive voice that maybe the church will pick up on and believe a lie, or because of persecution will shy away from what we've been given, this good news that we've been given. But Galatians 5 and verse 7, it says, Paul tells the church here in Galatians, "You ran well. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Right? Who hindered you from obeying the truth, though? What happened to you? You ran well. You were doing really well. But something happened. And who hindered you from obeying the truth? In verse 8, this persecution does not come from him who called you. He's warning the church. Look, you've listened to seductive voices. You've managed to believe things that are not so, and you've given up the truth that you had. Right? And he's saying, the one that called you is not the one that's giving you these seductive messages, you know. He's warning the church there. Paul is warning the church. Let's take a look now, because that is robbers. See our next obstacle that stands in the way of delivering that message. Wild animals. Let's take a look at 1 Peter. What is the wild animal that would be on the path that would stop a messenger from delivering a message? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Who's that animal? Who's that one that can rob us of the good news that we have? Satan the devil. But what can we do against a lion? I mean, what happens when you see a lion on the path, right? I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen lions. They're pretty ferocious, right? Well, thankfully, 1 Peter 5 tells us exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 8 again. It's the first thing that you need to do if you encounter Satan the devil, or if you're going to be on guard and guard the message that you have. First thing, be sober. Be sober. Don't be drunk with the cares of this world. Don't be carried away with your job or with family drama or all of these other issues that may come along that distract you. It says, be sober. Don't be drunk with the cares of this world. Second thing, very next thing that we see there in verse 8, it says, be vigilant. Well, be vigilant, right? If you're walking and you're delivering a message, you have to be vigilant. You have to stay on guard. You have to be looking ahead. You have to be prepared for an attack. If you have your eyes down and you're not looking around and you don't have your eyes out for danger along the path or for the lion on the path, then yeah, it can surprise you. It can jump up and it can catch you off guard. And then the third thing we see in verse 9, the third thing that you want to do when you see the lion on the path, or in this case, Satan in our spiritual lives, coming to steal the good news that we have. Verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood and the world. Right? It gives some great advice there. Be sober. Be sober. Don't be drunk with the cares of this world. Be vigilant. Stay on guard. And this third one here, resist in faith. James 4. James 4. Let's take a look at James 4. Just a couple pages back. James 4 and verse 7 goes a little bit further and tells us, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, how do we resist? We have to be close to God. We have to have a close relationship with God. And this is a promise here. If we resist Satan, he will flee. It tells us that here. We need to claim this promise. We need to be aware of it and claim it, right? If we're under attack, we need to run to God or have that relationship with God. And we can remind God and say, look, I want to claim this promise that you laid out here in James 4 and verse 7. I want to claim that promise. So that is wild animals. So wild animals. They can certainly take away, and Satan can certainly take away that good news that we have, that we seek to bring to a world that desperately needs it. Next, we have distractions. Distractions. They are the cares of the world. We have a warning in Proverbs 4. I want to turn over there, Proverbs 4. We're warned, right? In Proverbs 4 and verse 14, we're given a warning here. It says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Avoid it, right? Great warning. Do not travel on it and turn away from it and pass on, right? Don't have any part of it. Don't have any part of it. Verse 25, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Distractions that way. It wants you to look away. It wants you to turn off of the path that you're on. It wants you to be distracted, go that direction, forget about the message that you have to deliver. No. Turn over here. Look over here. Look at this distraction. Be distracted. And it wants to distract us from the message that we have to deliver. In verse 27, it says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Your feet have to be firmly on that path, and we can't go right or left. We have to be sure-footed and not willing to be distracted by the cares of this world. And it can easily, easily do that. I've seen many a people who have fallen prey to that very thing, to distractions. They can be a killer of a messenger and stop our feet from being able to deliver that message. The next one I want to talk about is fatigue. Fatigue. This one, I think more than any, has taken its toll. You know, when you've been running a long time and you have been delivering a message and on that path to deliver that message, runners run into fatigue. You can't go on. You know, and if you get on the path and if you've done any running at all, you realize once you hit that point where you can't go any further, you have to have something. There has to be something there for you, right? If you're a jogger and you're on the path and you hit that wall where you're fatigued, you need a couple things. You need rest, you need food, and you need water, right? Food, water, and rest. Let's take a look at Hebrews, the 12th chapter, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hand that hangs down and the feeble knee, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Spiritual fatigue in our lives, you know, it needs one thing. That needs the ability and our effort in drawing close to God. That's where we get food, spiritual food. That's where we find rest. And that's where we find water. All, of course, spiritually speaking, you know, we find that from God and drawing close to God. We have to be doing those things and drawing close to God if we plan at all to be able to battle against fatigue. And fatigue is a very serious, an extremely serious problem for somebody delivering a message, you know, especially when it's a long ways and the journey is strenuous. Let's talk about elements, the elements. You know, we have a runner on a road back in Isaiah's time would come across washed out roads. They would come up against bad weather, going across rough terrains and long valleys. The courier of old, they ran into all kinds of obstacles, you know, all kinds of these types of obstacles. And for us spiritually, our obstacles cannot slow us down and they cannot stop us. We must keep running. It is not in us. And one of the main things that we have to remember when we're delivering this good news, we have this good news to deliver, that we have to realize that it's not in us. It's not in us as human beings to stay on that path. Let's take a look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10, you mean turning over there. It's only in us in that God puts it there. We don't do it by our own strength or our own power. It has to be placed there. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We wouldn't find this path, not in a million years, if we weren't called, if we weren't given the light to be able to see this path, if we weren't given this good news. I mean, it just is not in us humanly. Without God, we would not be able to run this race. We would not be able to deliver this message. Psalms 119. It's important to remember that because, you know, humanly, you think, I can make it. I can bear down and get after this and make this happen humanly. But no amount of human effort will make this happen. Where do we find that light for our feet? Where do we get that sure-footedness? We find it here in Psalms 119 and verse 105. It says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we want a light at our feet, we have to be studying God's word, right? We have to be in the Bible every day looking at these scriptures, understanding that it is not our good news. Before I prepare a message, I regularly pray this, and that is that, look, I say to God, these are not my words. They're not my words. They're your words. And so with that, I kind of take it out of my hands, and I lay the responsibility at God's feet to deliver the message that I have, right, just in this context. But these are God's words. I'm not telling you some profound knowledge that I came up with on my own. No, they're words that I have found through studying the Bible and studying God's word, staying in God's word. That's how we'll be able to continue to carry this message. Proverbs 4 and verse 4, let's turn over there. Proverbs 4 and verse 4, it says, He also taught me and said to me, Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Verse 12, it says, When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. Right? When we walk, our steps will not be hindered. We won't fall. We won't stumble if we firmly have a foundation and we are firmly planted in God's word. Continuing verse 12 there, And when you run, you will not stumble. If we have God's words, if we have God's truth, if we are attacked, it tells us we won't stumble, we won't fall, our steps won't be hindered, right? It's through God's word that we have that ability to continue to carry on this message. And we carry the most important message that's ever been carried, and that is the gospel of the kingdom of God. What greater, as Isaiah said, you know, when we started out there, how beautiful are the feet that carry good news. And we certainly carry that good news. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. And verse 15. Can't talk about feet without talking about this verse here. Ephesians 6 and verse 15, And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have that good news, and we have to If we're going to continue to run this race and if we are going to finish this race, we have to have that gospel of peace about us. Mark 16. Let's turn back to Mark 16. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." This is our commission. Once we've been given it, this is what we're supposed to do with it. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel into all the world. And yes, we do that collectively as a church, but individually we need to be doing that in our lives. And you may ask, what can I do in this, in preaching that gospel? Well, everything in our lives should revolve around this great commission, right? Praying for success of the work, our jobs that they offer, the work financial ability to do that work, you name it. We have that responsibility in everything that we do. We go about our day that we would remember that and keep it on the forefront of our mind that this is our responsibility. This is our commission to deliver this message to this world in whatever way that we can. You know, we don't shy away from that or turn back from that. In whatever way that we can, we push forward to deliver this message. James 5 and verse 16 tells us, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, right? So we can pray. This is one of the big things that we can do in delivering that message, that you may be healed, and the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. All right, so there's a couple things that you have to do there. You have to be righteous, first of all. Where are you going to get that righteousness? Well, you'll find it through studying and practicing the way of God, you know, following after His commandments and what the instruction book that He has given us, right? We have that ability to study and then pray and stay on that path and practice righteousness in our lives. Let's take another look at David here. David in Psalms talks about, he examined his paths, and let's take a look at that. Psalms 119 and verse 59. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. In verse 60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. David here is saying, I looked at my path. I saw that it wasn't right, and I turned my feet to get on that path, right? And if we find ourselves in that same situation, what do? Well, I'm a little ways over here, but I still see the path over there. No, we can't play with it. We have to do exactly what David did, and he turned his feet to it. He kept those testimonies. He made haste, as it says in verse 60, and did not delay to keep your commandments. He examined the path that his feet took. He saw that there was error, and he quickly and correctly got on that path, right? We have to be doing that same thing as well. We have an example of that in the Bible in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we find an example that we should be following. It goes without saying. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Who committed no sin," verse 22, "nor was deceit found in his mouth." We have an example of the feet that we're supposed to follow and the footsteps that we're supposed to follow in, and that's Jesus Christ. We follow in his footsteps, being without sin, striving to be without sin. And as we talk about staying on this path, it's very difficult. We can look around and we see a lot of people that have left from feasts 30 years ago to now. There's a stark difference, right? And even in church services where you used to have, you know, buildings packed with people. Well, it's difficult. That path is very difficult. It's very hard. It's not easy. There are a lot of obstacles that we have to be on guard against. Those that I have mentioned, and even more. I'm sure you can come up with more. But as we talk about that, as we think about that, and we realize that it is not easy, we think about what lies in the future for our feet. Let's take a look. Malachi 4. Malachi 4 and verse 2. It says, "But to you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." Our feet play an incredibly important role in taking out the wicked. I mean, we have an important role to play in the future, and our feet play that role, that the wicked would be under our feet, that they would no longer, you know, parade around and besmirch or discredit the good news that we've been given. Romans 16. You think that's something? Let's take a look at what happens with our feet here. Romans 16 and verse 20. It says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of your Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The wicked, those that attacked us along the path, those that tried to cause us fatigue and to cause us to be weary, to cause us to be distracted, who attacked us along the way, Satan the devil, the one who walks around as a roaring lion, he will be crushed under these beautiful feet that deliver this good news. Pretty profound, pretty important, pretty awesome what God has given us and the responsibility he's given us and the responsibility that our feet have to continue to deliver that message. Revelation 3, we're here a little earlier, Revelation 3, and we'll take a look at verse 9, Revelation 3 and verse 9, because it doesn't end there, right? We have the wicked being crushed, Satan being crushed underfoot. And then we find in Revelation 3 and verse 9, it says, "Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who said they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you." That I have loved you. Those that once caused us so much harm, that sought to delay or to stop this message from going out, those are the individuals that will fall before our feet and worship at our feet the message, the good news, right? The good news that we have been given to deliver. Hebrews 2, one last scripture here, Hebrews 2 and verse 8, we read, "And you have put all things in subjective under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things put under him." Right? All things in subjection under his feet. That's what it tells us here. That's the charge that we will have in the future and the message that we've been given today and the responsibility that we will have to deliver this message. This is an awesome destiny, and it's part of the good news that we have and that we have been given to carry out. So I hope this, you know, changes your idea about feet. I know they're gross. I know that we don't particularly like them in our culture, and feet certainly are not the most beautiful part of the human anatomy. But our feet hold an incredibly special, incredibly important, incredibly wonderful and awesome message that goes to this world. So are your feet headed in the right direction?